Welcome to the Management Minute with Dr. Donita Brown, where we sit down with business leaders to gain valuable insights and advice on how to navigate the world of management. Whether you're a seasoned manager or just starting out, this podcast is for you. I'm Donita Brown, a professor in the College of Business at Lipscomb University. I'm also an author, speaker, and habit coach. For almost 20 years, I worked in corporate America. I managed teams of 2 to 102. Welcome to this week's episode. This week's guest is Rick Holloway. Rick, thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
All right. So we're going to start, as we always do, with a one-sentence bio. I'm excited to see if you can really give us a one-sentence bio.
Yeah, I planned this whole thing out, but I've forgotten it. So we're just going to wing it.
Hey, I love it.
All right.
That's the best.
So I am, I'm a believer. I'm a husband of 22 years. I'm father of three. I'm a son, and I currently work in enrollment at a university, and I've worked in enrollment for about 21 years. So I took a break in the middle to teach a little bit.
Wow. And
that's about five sentences.
That's not a one sentence bio.
I had it to one.
Well, I appreciate the five sentence bio.
Yeah, so you're
thank
welcome.
You. Thank you.
Anytime.
All right. Are you ready for question number one?
Yes.
All right. How do your values impact your management philosophy?
Yeah, so I wouldn't know how to manage without my values, you know, and so they're very much what guide me. You know, I believe that values are what guide any of your decisions, how you behave, all those deep down decisions you make each day, even ones that are spur of the moment, they're all informed by your values. And so in one of the MBA classes I teach here at Lipscomb, we talk about values, we talk about leadership and how those are used in your everyday lives as you're dealing with the folks you work with, the people that work for you, and the people you work for. You know, how do those values show up? You know, and so, you know, for me, I'm a relationship guy. And so a lot of how I lead has to do with relationships and knowing people. And it really starts with trust. You know, if that's not there, there's really no relationship. I don't care if we're talking about business or otherwise. There's really just nothing to build on if trust isn't there. And that comes through, you know, spending time with one another, listening, talking, not necessarily about work, but maybe other things. Because I also believe you can't come to work without your personal life. It's going to follow with you wherever you go. And recognizing that as a leader, that your life is coming with you, it's also coming with everybody else. You know, and so life happens to everyone, good and bad. And so really knowing the people enough to know when those things are happening and what's coming up, what's exciting that's coming up, maybe child's graduation or something like that. And really just being able to know them enough to be there in that moment to either celebrate with them or sometimes mourn with them.
So you have a new employee. How do you get to know them? You just talked a lot about how relationships are important and knowing about the person because they bring their personal life to work. How do you get to know a new employee?
Yeah. So, I mean, in November I started a new job, and so I have a lot of new employees to get to know. Some I knew already because of previous positions, but some were new. And so really I booked time, just time, you know, and so we sat and chatted for a while, and I wanted to know, you know, why they're here. When did they come? What do they do? What do they like doing? What would they like to do more of? You know, really just trying to find out what makes them tick, you know, like what do you enjoy? You know? And so there's a lot of fun in that, you know, getting to know people and understanding. I just enjoy that. You know, like that's what I've really enjoyed, is just getting engaged with different people, you know, and being there in the different moments, you know, but really getting started with them is just listening and responding with, you know, a well-informed comment back, you know, not just off the wall, but really just being engaged in that moment with them so that they know that that time is strictly for them.
You know, you said two things that I think are really important. One is time, mm-hmm. and two is listening.
Yeah.
And both of those, to me, are gifts that you can give employees. I have had managers who really wanted to get to know me as a person and wanted to challenge me and give me assignments that they knew I would either shine in or I would stretch me. And then I've had managers that didn't want to get to know me at all. And I was just another person they could send an email to and say, here's what I need you to do for me. And every single time, without fail, the manager that actually wanted to get to know me as a person, I would have walked over hot coals for.
Yeah.
I would have worked so much harder.
Absolutely.
For that person.
I completely agree. And I've had both as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But now as a manager, how do you make sure that you carve out that time? Because your day is full. I see you on campus. You work here at Lipscomb. Yeah. same place I do. And I know you're a busy guy. So how do you make sure that you have that time to spend with your employees and then listen? Because listening's not always an easy thing to do.
Yeah. Time is one of those, you know, we all feel like we have not enough time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, that's inside work, outside work. It doesn't matter. We all feel like we don't have enough time. But if something's important, there's always time.
Mm.
There always is. You know, I mean, it may cause something else not to happen. It may be a missed meeting because I had to go to listen because somebody's going through something or something just happened, you know, whatever, you know, but there's always time if it's important.
We make time to do the things that are important to us.
Yeah. Always.
So you just hold that as a high priority.
Yeah. Always, you know, and if you know, anybody that works for me or has worked for me, they have my number. They can text anytime. They can call anytime. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm going to be there for them because that's my job, right? Is to be there for them to make sure they have everything they need to be successful.
I love that.
You know, and so if that means stepping out of something else to listen, then absolutely.
I love that. All right, ready to go to question number two?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Who or what has had the most impact on your management style?
That's a tough question. There's several things. I think it's an accumulation of all the experiences, right, that kind of influences your style. If I had to think of one person, it would be my dad, without question. I remember going when I was in high school. I went with him. So he was in sales and marketing for a Swiss company that made drilling spindles, basically machines that drilled holes and stuff. So we went to San Diego. We were in California and visiting different manufacturing companies. And we went to Honeywell, and it was a cold call. And I was like, can I come with you? Just because I didn't want to sit in the car. I was in high school, right? And so I didn't know what I was doing. But we walk in the Honeywell, this huge factory, right? Huge factory. Even that thermostat over there is Honeywell. So like, it's got holes in it for my dad. So, but you know, we walk in and we walk in the little lobby. He's like, here, I'd like to meet with your whatever of the factory, you know? And they're like, hang on, I'll go get him. And this guy comes in the lobby and he's like 6'5". My dad and I are both 6 foot. He's like 6'5", easy 350, you know, just a huge man. And he's got glasses, big old burly mustache. And he's just super intimidating. Not a smile, not even, just looks like he hates life, right? I'm like, oh, this will be interesting. You know, we're about to get back in the car, you know? And so I watch my dad talk to him, introduces himself and that sort of thing. He says, if I can have 5 minutes in your factory, I'll see if I can help you. And if I can't, you'll never hear from me again. And if you can, then if I can help you, then we'll keep going.
Mm.
And the guy's like, all right. Cause most people can spare 5 minutes.
Sure. Right.
And we go down to the factory again, huge factory machines, as far as you can see. Right. And my dad just says, well, okay, what problem are you currently having?
Mm.
Right. So he goes, cause he wants to address an issue, right? A problem. And his name was Carl, big Carl. And so he's like, we had to shut down this whole side of the factory and move production to the other side. And we're losing this, you know, however much revenue, blah, 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 per day, you know. And my dad's like, okay, well, let me go look at it. And he takes his wedding ring off. It's the ring I have on now. And he walks into the machine. That's how big the machine was. Walks in the machine. He has his sleeves rolled up. And he comes out and hands and arms are all black from grease and stuff. And he opens his hand. He goes, okay, I figured out the problem. And he goes, I've had people in here for months trying to find the problem. He goes, oh, no, it's this piece, and I know I can help you. Our machines will not break down like that. And big Carl's like, how can you tell me they won't break down? He goes, well, we don't have this piece. You know, and so Carl started cracking up, right? Because he's like, well, that's easy. You know, and so dad ended up having millions of dollars of sales with big Carl because he got him to laugh.
Huh.
Right? All he had to do was get him to laugh.
Huh.
Right. And so the idea of relationships that in high school, I still remember it because I was like, wow, like if you can get that guy, you know, like it's the power of relationships.
Wow.
You know, and in order for Carl to trust my dad, like I said before, he had to prove it a little bit. Mm. Right. And then make light of it, you know, from then on, it was a great relationship.
But
and
so, I love how your dad, though, took the concept of sales of, I'm going to fix a problem you're having.
It's a problem.
I want you to buy something for me because it's the best, but I'm going to fix your problem. And I think the great salespeople that I have seen do that.
Yeah.
They fix a problem you're having.
And, you know, Dad's relationships with those who worked for him were always solid, mm-hmm. like because they knew he would go in a heartbeat to take care of whatever it was, wow. you know, like without question.
Wow.
And he was over sales in the United States and Australia. And so he was gone a little bit, you know, to go there and stuff, but he would have done anything for anybody. And so I try to work. I'm not always successful, you know, but I try to be that person.
That's you know, great.
That doesn't matter what's going on. If it's important, we'll make time for it.
That's right. What a great story. Yeah. Thank you for sharing yeah. that.
I'm also in marketing, so I like to tell stories.
Well, hey, and the stories are always the best to listen to. Yeah. Before we get to the next question, let's pause for a quick message about Lipscomb University's College of Business. Are you looking to sharpen your management skills and take your career to the next level? If so, look no further than the MBA program at Lipscomb University. Our part-time program is designed to provide you with the knowledge and the tools you need to excel in today's fast-paced business environment. Lipscomb offers both in-person and online formats that make it a perfect fit for full-time working professionals. Apply now and elevate your management skills. Learn more and apply at lipscomb.edu/business. All right, you ready for question number three?
I am.
All right. What book has made the biggest impact on you?
All right. So this is going to sound incredibly cliche, and I apologize, but it's the Bible. It was the first thing that came to mind. I'm like, you know what? It is. So, you know, I have shelves and shelves of books, right? But I'll stand there looking at all of them. And I'm like, you know, none of them hold a candle to what the Bible has done for me, you know? And so I'm like, okay, because when I think about my values of trust, honesty, authenticity, courage, you know, when I think about those values, I'm like, okay, well, I have learned all those in the Bible through various people in the Bible, right? I mean, Jesus demonstrates all of them, but you think about courage, you think about Joshua, it has to be my book.
My mom told me a long time ago, I was probably, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years old, the Bible had everything in it that you could ever want. Yeah. Any kind of story, anything, it has mystery, it has intrigue, it has war, it has poetry, it has everything that you could ever want. And at the time I thought, okay, Mom.
I know.
It's one of those things your parents say, absolutely. You're like, okay. But I was listening to Ezekiel coming in. I try to listen to my Bible or read it every year. And this year I'm trying to read it twice in a year. Yeah, so I'm listening a lot in the car, and I'm listening to Ezekiel, which is not one of my favorite books of the Bible, but it's one of my daughter's favorite books of the Bible. But she likes poetry, she likes writing songs, and you can kind of see how that would be. And I'm kind of looking at it with a new eye, and I love that you just said it was the Bible. So thank you for sharing that.
Teamwork, word of mouth marketing, because there was nothing else. I mean, it's got everything in it, you know, and so it's got to be the Bible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Are you ready for my favorite part of the podcast?
Yes.
Okay. So this is the part where you try to stump me 60 seconds. You try to make me run out of questions to ask you.
All right. I'm ready.
What's your job title?
Associate Provost of Graduate Enrollment and Support.
What was your first job?
Admissions Counselor.
What's your favorite month of the year?
May.
What's your favorite season?
Fall.
What's your favorite animal?
Dog.
Favorite color?
Gray. I know, it's weird.
favorite food?
Ice cream.
Favorite word?
Ooh, love.
What word do you hate hearing?
Can't.
What word do you have a hard time pronouncing?
Leslie's last name.
Which is a faculty member here on staff. Yes. I can't say it either. Who do you text most?
My wife.
Who is your hero?
Oh, my dad.
Where did you go on your last vacation?
North Carolina.
What is your go-to pastime?
Spending time with the kids.
What was your favorite subject in school?
Science.
All right. That's a good way to end. You did a good job.
I did good. I have a long title. You started with a hard one.
I know.
That's going to take 10 seconds.
When you said that, I thought, oh, that's a really good one. So I need to start with that one for somebody I know that has a really long title. Yeah. All right. So... parting advice for managers. What's the best advice you can give managers?
Don't be afraid to love people. You know, because love has, there's different types of love, right? So love at work isn't the same as you'd have for your spouse or whatever. So it doesn't have to be weird. You know, really just love people, you know, and try to have a good time. Try to build an environment that's welcoming and that is open. if you do something wrong, make sure you have people that will call you on it. Mm. You know, I mean, and welcome that. You know, don't let your ego get in the way. Don't let yourself get in the way. You know, be open to criticism. Be open to making yourself better so that you can be better for everybody else.
That all goes into being lovable too.
Absolutely.
Love others and be lovable.
Yes.
I love it. Thank you, Rick. Yeah. So appreciate you being a guest on my podcast and appreciate you listening to all of my.
Absolutely. I'm your biggest fan. Podcasts.
I love it. I love it. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Management Minute. We hope you enjoyed this week's interview. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend or colleague. If you have suggestions for future guests, please send me their contact information to donita.brown@lipscomb.edu. You can also subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to connect with me on LinkedIn. Thank you.
This podcast is powered by the College of Business Content Creation Studio at Lipscomb University.